section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting, one show at a time.
The views and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of the hosts. All the penis jokes, racial statements, and inappropriate comments should not be associated with our guests and sponsors. This show is for entertainment purposes only, and if you're easily offended, we suggest you stop listening now. But if you do, you will deprive yourself of the most amazing auditory orgasm ever. And who doesn't like a good auditory orgasm?
I am about to tell you something that'll change the face of history.
Coming to you live from the dirty stalls of the IBWIP studio and the airwaves of Silent Storm Radio, please welcome Amish BJ, Cold Beer Coley, and the podcasting god,
Amen.
Blake Clayton, and another fucked up episode of It Burns When I Pee.
We're not total dicks.
Follow that, bitch.
1, 2, 3, 4... When I turn my radio dial, all I hear is pop country. Those corporate jerks sure get on my nerves. That ain't country to me.
Now it burns when I pee. It burns when I pee.
That's what Nashville did to me. So let's take a piss on the Nashville music fest. Cause
now it burns when I pee.
I broke down and called the devil last night. I was feeling wrong when I had to get right. Whiskey wasn't working, needed something with a bite. Moonshine, shine on me. That phone kept ringing till it finally picked up. I told him I was sorry, I just needed top shelf stuff. I didn't know what I'd been needing, but I knew damn well what I'd miss. Well, hot damn Alabama, that woman packed a kiss. Moonshine, shine on me. Moonshine, moonshine, shine on me. This world's gotten too dark, I can't hardly see. My eyes are wide, but I can't hide the price she took from me. Oh, moonshine, moonshine, shine on me. Full of sin, I got up on my knees and I got right back down again. This race is finally started and I don't want to win. Moonshine, shine on me. Moonshine, moonshine, shine on me. This world's gotten too dark, I can't hardly see. I was wild, but I can't hide the price she took from me. Oh, moonshine, moonshine, shine on me. I woke up with an empty cup and my soul stolen from me. Oh, moonshine, moonshine, shine on me.
Pay attention, folks. Here is how you contact the show.
We love your feedback, so get off your lazy asses and get a hold of us. You can email Blake at IBWIP.com, AmishBJ at IBWIP.com, and ColdBeer at IBWIP.com. That's my mom and dad. We also have a dial-in number that you can use to leave us a voicemail or call in during the live taping. Now program this into your phone. 1-203-429-4711. We look forward to hearing from you, and remember, boob pics are always welcome.
More booby pics! More booby pics! More booby pics! More booby pics!
It's a cold, cold night and an even colder sail. I'm a long way from home and even further from bail. I ain't got no shoes, nobody for a friend. January in Louisiana and this day won't ever end. That man took my livelihood and that man took my wife. One shot from my pistol, I thought I'd make it right. And no matter how you look at it, I'd do it all again. January in Louisiana and this day won't ever end. Sunrise won't come. Electric light in the dead of night to shine on what I've done. And there's no angels in hell, no hearts here to mend. January in Louisiana, and this day won't ever end.
Welcome, everyone, to the Dirty Stalls of It Burns When I Pee, and we're lucky enough to have this evening with us Justin Wells, who is the lead singer of Fifth on the Floor. Justin, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, Blake, how you doing?
Doing great. We got the pleasure of finally meet you a couple months ago down in good old Riverton, Illinois.
And yeah, I remember the beginning of the evening.
that's good. It was an interesting night just for the fact that, you know, you guys ended up playing first and, you know, and then we're able to have fun afterwards.
That's kind of the good thing about playing first is the libation begins after the last song ends.
Right. So, first want to congratulate you guys on getting signed to Entertainment Once Music, Nashville. How did that kind of come about?
Well, the agent at the label formerly worked for Universal, and when Shooter was on Universal, kind of built a relationship with him, and Shooter's now on Entertainment One, and just kind of put a bug in the guy's ear about the new record, that he was working on this record. He thinks it's something that, you know, might be a good fit for the label, something they'd be interested in, something hopefully with some positive growth and what have you. And we tracked the record and took it down there in Nashville, let them listen to it, and they were into it. And it went from there. It was kind of a long process last year getting everything worked out, but we finally got to where both sides are happy, and we're excited. We're happy to be a part.
Awesome. And what does that bring? Sorry. What does that bring to a band when, you know, when they get a label backing for you guys? You know, what's different than just being out on the road and doing stuff on your own?
My quick answer to being on a label is nothing necessarily. You know, at least that's what I was said before Entertainment One. You know, labels definitely have less of a hand in any sort of success or anything. It's certainly not a, it's not a have to thing. They're not the guaranteed middleman. But Entertainment One's been real gracious in terms of, you know, we've still got complete control of what we're doing. I mean, if we were to, I don't know, put some insane shit on the album cover, they might have something to say about that. But, you know, they've helped with, you know, we use their art department and we'll have full U.S. distribution. They've got the number one independent distribution period, if not in the world, then at least in the States. And so it's, you know, it's been real good for us getting a lot of feedback from them. You know, they're vested in the record and they're excited about the record. And, you know, it's just nice having somebody believe in it.
Right. Exactly. So. And the new album is called Ashes and Angels, and it comes out March 12th.
Mm-hmm.
How long were you guys working on the album?
Well, God bless if you say when the songs started being written. This is actually the first record with our rhythm section, Jason Parsons on bass guitar, and, Aaron Graham on drums, and the band definitely changed bringing them in. You know, we kind of had a little bit of an idea of what we wanted to sound like, but they really fleshed that out and changed that and had input. All four of us wrote on the record, and we started writing not long after they joined the band, so this would have been, I guess, late 2011. I think that's right now. It might have been, yeah. Or late 2010, actually. Late 2010, God bless. So that's when we started writing the songs. And we got together early last year with Shooter. Got together in Louisville. This is almost exactly a year ago. And started tracking. And then mixed around April, you know, working with Shooter's schedule. So we had to wait till he could come back through here. And recently, it's actually wrapping up mastering right now. So it's been a long process, a lot longer than it's usually taken us to make a record, but it'll be better for it.
Awesome. So you had mentioned that, you know, Shooter helped produce the album. You know, what did he bring to the process, and, you know, and how was he to work with?
Man, well, Shooter didn't just produce the record. He actually did the artwork for the record, which is just incredible. Shooter is a great guy. I can't say enough good about him. Obviously, he's afforded us a lot of opportunities that we might not have gotten on our own, or certainly wouldn't have gotten maybe this quickly. As far as actually working on the record, Shooter really became kind of a fifth member of the band. And, you know, his input was appreciated, and he appreciated our input. There was certainly no, you know, I'm Shooter James, this is how it's going to go. But nor was he backing down from us either, you know. So sometimes he got his way, sometimes we got our way. It was definitely a collaborative group effort with what we did. And you know, the record's absolutely better for it. Shooter's got a ton of great ideas. I mean, anybody that listens to his music or knows about the other projects that he's involved in can see that. And it was just great. It was great working with, you know, having somebody that was just that, I guess, vested in, you know, sure, that in love with the project and trying to make it good, so.
And did he help, you know, kind of push you guys to kind of maybe kind of go out on a limb on some stuff, or just kind of push you guys a little bit artistically?
Yeah, I would definitely say that. There were, you know, and there were speed bumps. I mean, Fifth on the Floor, we've been doing this about 7 years, so we've got our little our little clan. Maybe sometimes we're, you know, it's hard to break into that circle.
Right.
Shooter did so very well, but, you know, there were suggestions that we're like, what the hell? He's like, oh, that sounds good, Justin. Why don't you try that with an acoustic guitar? And I was like, fuck the acoustic guitar. But, if it's on the record, it's because it was the right thing to do, be it his idea, be it our idea, you know. And, we definitely stretched. I listened to the demos that we sent him the other day, and it's some of the songs are pretty similar, and some are far cry different, you know.
Awesome. So, you know, how long has the band been together?
We got together in the summer of 2006. A long time. Feels like.
And you've basically been on the road for most of that time, off and on.
I'd say, yeah, at least the last, probably last 4 years. We were traveling quite a bit with shows, even early on, but for all of us, this is our first touring band that we had been in. And so for years, until about the last 2 years, we've really just done everything on our own, and a lot of misses before we got a hit and that kind of thing.
Sure.
And, you know, it's just been nice working with you, working on the label. We're in talks with management right now, and hopefully we can kind of announce that soon. And all of this has just helped us focus, help us, you know, focus more on the music and let those people handle those things.
Sure. And it kind of puts you on, you know, like you said, on a good path. I mean, you're putting those kind of things in the hands of people who do that all the time. And then you're able to concentrate on the music. You're not having to worry about, you know, I'm going to spend all this time booking when I could be, you know, writing or.
That's exactly right. We actually, signed with EJP Entertainment, to handle booking in the summer. And it was a load off.
Definitely.
It was nice.
So what are some of your favorite things about touring, and what are some of your least favorite things about touring?
Maybe the obvious, I like to travel. That definitely works. I enjoy the newness of it. It sounds crazy, but I enjoy being in a different place every day. And certainly different people. I mean, here in the past few months, we were out Midwest, you know, we met you and we were up in Iowa and that, and we just came off a Northeast tour up in New York City. First time I'd ever been in New York City, and just meeting great folk all over. And, you know, the only significant difference is the accent. I mean, everybody's, you know, there's people that are fans of this kind of music everywhere.
Right.
And it's fun to meet them, man. It's fun to meet them.
What are some
the other part of your question, my least favorite, definitely being away from my family. I just had two little girls in October, twin girls, identical twin girls. They're a handful, and and their mother, my wife, is a blessed person, because, you know, she's an only parent when I'm gone.
Sure.
And, you know, it's hard on her, but it's hard on me missing them. And, you know, and we're not making the glory kind of money. So we're in the trenches, man. That can get a little hard. Sleeping on floors gets old.
Right.
But,
you know, and you mentioned, you know, being a father of, you know, two young twins, and I know there's been engagements and there's other babies on the way in the band.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's on four families. Like, we're like the Wu-Tang Clan all of a sudden.
Right.
What happened?
And does that,
yeah. Maddie's got a kid on the way, into April, and Aaron, our drummer, just got engaged to his girlfriend. So yeah, it's a beautiful time.
And it's nice to see that, you know, even with, you know, touring all the time, I mean, you guys are, even though you're away from your families, it's obvious that there's a lot of support from them. And I bet that's pretty important, and it helps make it a little bit easier to go out there and get in the van and go.
It does. And it gives you focus. It, you know, I mean, obviously if I'm going to be away from my family, it gives you drive to, you know, not just be out there jacking off, actually getting stuff accomplished and making, you know, each day or week or however long month we're out, you know, make it matter, I guess.
Sure. So, you know, to me, Fifth on the Floor has a definite kind of Southern rock feel to them. I bring up Lynyrd Skynyrd and Georgia Satellite's kind of feel, you know, maybe.
Right.
And I was just kind of wondering, you know, what are some of your musical influences?
Me personally, or the band, or both, or neither?
You personally.
Me personally, Well, as a writer, I don't hold anybody above Hank Williams in terms of, in terms of everything, but certainly his ability to, he was not a very literate man, not a very learned man, and still to write what he did and for it to still resonate. I mean, there's a reason that, he's like the holiest of the holy in country music.
Right.
But he did it with such a limited palette that, that to me is all kinds of more impressive than, writing books. And I don't want to go read a doctorate in lyrics. I mean, we're doing a kind of simple thing. It's a music of the people or what have you. And, I really dig that. You know, you talk about Skinner, Ronnie Van Zant is an influence on me just in terms of, he's a blues singer. I mean, yeah, they were a Southern rock band, but that's a blues singer. And I feel like blues is where I'm strongest. A lot of that comes out in the band.
Definitely.
But Creedence in the band, Levon Helm, one of my absolute all time favorites. And those two bands I think are, definitely what we try to style ourselves like in certain ways. You know, as far as the band, there wasn't necessarily a standout person. You know, there's three singers in the band and everybody able to take solos, and that's kind of something that we've always been into. You know, it's not Justin Wells and Fifth on the Floor, and you know that's how it is a lot in the underground, and that's cool. But that wasn't something we were trying to do from the outset. We all write. You know, Parsons sings lead and Aaron even sings lead live, and everybody has a part in it.
Yeah, and
it's a cool thing.
And definitely when you see Fifth on the Floor live, you can see that too. You know, that it's a collaborative effort for sure.
Absolutely. And it's, I think I just have always felt like that keeps everybody into it. Everybody's vested. And I think it just keeps all of us players at our, absolute potential, knowing that, your ideas aren't going to get knocked down.
Sure.
I guess if they suck, but
if they suck. there's no Ringo Starrs,
Fifth on the Floor. No Ringo Starrs, man. We need one. Find me a Ringo Starr.
I've always felt kind of sorry for Ringo because, anything he would bring to the table, I'm sure that, I could just kind of envision him, walking into the room and bringing something to the table and everybody just kind of looking at each other like, oh, okay. But
I can't imagine. I can't imagine. I mean, I guess being a Beatle is maybe enough.
Yeah.
But I don't know. No, there's nothing like that with us.
That's cool.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying to keep them down, but they keep revolting.
Right. So, what is one of the most personal songs that you have ever written? And do you ever find it difficult performing a specific, a personal song on stage because it might trigger emotions or memories?
Well, maybe the most personal song I've ever written will be on the new record. The song's called Shotgun, and it was the first song we put together with these new guys. So it was actually the first song written by the band for this record. And it's about somebody that's very, very close to me that just went through rough shit, just, moved away from home and was just around a bad vibe, and that leaked in and, making some poor decisions. And I don't know. I mean, maybe forgetting, I don't know what, where it came
sure.
from and what matters and what's happy. And he did get out of that situation and everything's better because of it. Thank God. But that really, really affected me at the time and was just tearing me up. And, I had to write about it. And the song's pretty much true to what happened. And so, especially when we first started playing that, and when he's been in the audience, that's pretty emotional.
Right.
I kind of wear my heart on my sleeve anyway. And I've got choked up before. That's why we got other singers in the band.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of, to me, anybody can write a song, but, to write a song that can touch somebody, whether it be your best friend or whether it be somebody in, Montana who's sitting you never met before, I mean, that's kind of like the whole basis of why you guys do what you do.
Absolutely.
Lyrically.
Absolutely, man. We had a song off the first record called Last Night in Memphis. And you know, it still is one of my favorite songs off that record. But back, I can't even tell you how many years ago, but I know MySpace was still relevant. That's when this was. We get a message from this kid. I think he said he's like 15 or 16 years old. Dude was from Texas. At that point, we never played Texas. And he got in the song, and he bought online or whatever he'd done. And right after, his grandfather passed away in Memphis. And he just went on a walk and had that. I don't know if it came out randomly, if he saw that song out, but had it on his iPod. And he just was really going on about what that meant to him. And I was like, man, that's worth everything in the world to me. I'd take that over playing for thousands, you know?
Yeah, that's a cool story.
That's good shit, man. It's cool.
It's what it's all about.
It definitely keeps you going when you're low, man, you know?
Yeah, definitely. When you're, you know, freezing cold in the van and there's five guys and, you know, you're like, why the fuck am I doing this? You just
There's definitely been those kinds of thoughts over the year, but, you know, we've been blessed. We've been blessed since day one. It's always moved up, you know, maybe slowly at times, but we're definitely blessed where we're at.
So how has the past year been different for Fifth on the Floor than, you know, years past? Because, like I said, you've been working on the record, you know, and really Fifth on the Floor is gaining momentum, and it's all been kind of like, you know, for the past year or so. You know, how has it been different for you guys?
It's, you know, it's cool, man. And I wonder how it is for Parsons and Aaron. Like I said, they've been with us now for like 2.5 years. I wonder if it's a little bit different, but Matt and I, like I said, we're coming up on 7 years, and we came from shit, man. I mean, no, we weren't in touring bands. I mean, we had other projects, but, you know, bar shit. And kind of from day one, we were making decisions that weren't helping us in the moment, but were investment decisions. You know, right. We would take money and put it towards better gear, what have you, getting a van and that kind of thing. And we knew this is what we wanted to do, but there was no clear path. There's no bands from the area that have done it. We didn't have anybody, you know, there was no like big brother kind of band, sure. Or we didn't have management. You know, we went all these years, no agent, no management, no label, no nothing. And, just in the last couple of years, you know, Shooter kind of comes out of nowhere and he's a fan of the band. And so we start up a dialogue and, you know, of course, as people are now seeing that was a big spotlight for us. You know, that brought a lot of attention our way, and it's been great ever since. But the music, the performance, I mean, that shit was already there.
Right.
It was just getting that in front of people, and, you know, we're always trying to be better. But it's like, it's starting to feel like, you know, these years were the going up the hill on the roller coaster. Now it's like, especially when the record drops, man, it's going to be okay.
It's one of those.
There it goes, you know.
The little engine.
Hope we did everything right.
Right.
Know?
It's like a little engine that could. You've been chugging. You know, now you're at the top of the hill ready to, you know, gain some speed and kind of reap.
That's right, man.
Reap some of the benefits of, you know, all those years beforehand where, you know, there was probably times that, you know, it kind of looked bleak, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. And it's cool, man. Like, you know, whatever this scene of the underground roots or whatever. I mean, it, you know, I know that we're not country and we're not rock or whatever, but, you know, now we've got all these friends that have been doing it. They are part of this group, scene, whatever. I hate that word. But, you know, it's kind of, it's funny to me because maybe perceived as kind of new out there, but we've been doing it longer than some of these bands,
right?
You know, it just so happens we were in our little dark corner. Yeah.
So
awesome
for you. How do you describe, you know, what folks are gonna get out of the new Ashes to Angels CD?
The new Fifth on the Floor. That's kind of what the name hints at, in terms of, you know, there's been a change, even maybe in the sound, not significant. I mean, we've not ditched where we were. Sure. It's a maturing, definitely. But we've gone in a couple directions that we haven't gone before. And it's something that, you know, we've been doing live for some time. So maybe folks at the shows have seen what's happened to the band, but, it's that we're just, this is our, hopefully every band would always feel that way about their newest record, but this is the snapshot of where we're at right now. And, you know, it's the strongest we've ever been. It's the best songs we've ever written. Certainly the best, you know, production situation that we've ever experienced. So I think people are going to be floored. I think fans of the band are going to be floored. I think people who have never heard of the band are going to be floored. I think anybody that kind of, you know, guys like you and folks that are really into the underground are going to be floored. I don't think there's anything like it. I don't think there's anything out there like it at all.
Awesome.
It's going to be interesting.
I cannot wait to hear it. And we played January in Louisiana prior to the start of the interview, which is off the new album.
Yep, that's right.
So as the most important part of the interview is the plug part. You know, where can folks go to find out where you're touring and to basically get their hands on CDs and merch?
www.fitsonthefloor.com. Everything's on there. You can get merch, tour info, if God help you, but if you want pictures of the band, they are even on that website. Everything's on there. Of course, we're on Twitter and Facebook. Go find us on there. We've even started Instagram because we are current.
There you go. You are the social.
We're so hip, man.
It's social media. We hate social media, but it is the way, you know, bands survive nowadays.
Oh man, yeah. Just tell everybody how hip we are. We are so hip.
Definitely. And we'll put a link up to.
We're going to change the album name to Hip.
Yeah, just call Shooter tonight. Call Shooter tonight and say, scrap all the show art, everything, you know.
Yeah, start over, man. You got it all wrong.
Breaking news right here.
Yeah, did y'all not know? We're hip, damn it. We're from Kentucky, man. We're at the height of culture.
There you go. So, you know, and the last thing I wanted to talk about real quick is Moonrunner Fest. Chicago, April 27th. Fifth on the Floor is going to be part of that. How'd it come about that you guys got chosen to be on that bill?
Josh, he's a friend of ours. Yep. And as I understand it, Josh, he kind of had this list of bands that he wanted to be a part of it. And I think he got everybody he wanted, which is kind of crazy if you think about how many people's schedules are colliding.
Oh yeah.
There, I mean, Shooter's going to be there. Scott Byron's going to be there. Hellbound's going to be there. It's incredible. I can't imagine why anybody that listens to this music would be anywhere else. And it's an inside venue. It's not outside. And, you know, it's a good sized venue, but there's limited tickets. I don't know if it's sold out, but I'm sure it will.
Yeah, I just talked to Joshy not too long ago, and they're getting close to being sold out. So if you're
awesome,
but IBWIP will be there, and we'll be seeing you there. And Justin, it's been a pleasure. It was a pleasure meeting you a few months back, and it's been a pleasure having you on the show. And I will see you in April, buddy.
Yeah, Blake, thanks so much for having me, man.
No problem. Congratulations on the new album.
All right, man. Cheers.
Last night on a midnight train, cold rain like tears on my window pane. There's no game for a man, but no one knows his name. My head's begging me for a cigarette, my eyes another line of cane. My heart's another memory on distant memory lane. I don't know nobody worth knowing these days, but my boots know every place. And it's a race to put some more lines on my face. I don't know no heaven, I don't know no hell, but either way I know I ain't gonna stay. 'Cause my angel's another memory on distant memory lane. Rambling, rambling down distant memory lane. I know that I will never see you again. Lonesome, lonely, that lonesome midnight train. Your eyes are another memory on distant memory lane. Thank you.
another shade of gray. This damn train keeps moving, my heart keeps slipping away. I don't know what's ahead, but I know what's behind. 1,000 miles in your smiling face, but that's just another memory on distant memory lane. Rambling, rambling down distant memory lane. I know that I will never see you again. Lonesome, lonely, that lonesome midnight train. Your eyes are another memory on distant memory.
Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code Section 8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.